For those of you who have been trying to recall where this story took place in the Bible, I should tell you that it is a fictional account. It is an imagined meeting between Mary, who had just given birth to her baby, the one that she called Jesus. And it's an imagined story of one of the children probably playing in the compound, a walled place as they would have them at that time. Probably one of the children that was running around in the inn where Joseph and Mary had found a place. An imagined story of a curious child peeking in on the cries of a newborn baby. An imagined conversation between Mary and this curious onlooker. I was struck by two things that Mary said towards the end of the video to the child. And one of the things she said is, yes, they will come. The faithful will come. How could they not? How I wish that were true. It is true, but it also makes me a little bit nervous, because it has the voice of the church has echoed this same kind of sentiment even up to present day. Yes, they will come, the faithful will come. How could they not? And we sit in our church buildings, and we expect people to run us over, run into church when we tell our story. And we know this not to be true, not to be the case. Increasingly, we live in a society at a time when churches are not filled, when they are emptying, and when we start to wonder, do people still know the story? Do people still care about the story? And so when I hear these words that Mary spoke to the child, yes, they will come, the faithful will come, that floods my mind as well. But she also said this right after that. She said, but when you go tell, my young friend, be sure to tell them that he is an incredible gift of love. So even Mary, in her conversation with this child, on the one hand expressed that faith, yes, they will come. But then she also sent this boy out. When you go tell, when you go tell, because how could you not tell of the birth of a baby, of a bundle of joy, of new life? And be sure to tell them that he's an incredible gift of love. And that too starts my thoughts racing. Is it really necessary to say that? Is it really necessary to say that you should tell people that this is an incredible gift of love? How could you hold a sweet newborn baby and not be overcome with love? Does it really need to be said? I'm now inviting us to go to our story, a story that picks up from the video and introduces us to a man named Simeon. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 35. There should be a Bible there, or you may have brought your own. The child has been born. But I think the words of Mary, the words that she speaks, the words that send my thoughts running, I think make more sense after we read this story. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." A most curious story, don't you think? And how is it connected to this scene of Mary in a stable celebrating this newborn baby, the birth of Jesus? How is it connected to her statement that faithful will come? How is it connected to that second statement, "But you, my young friend, go and tell"? Be sure to tell them that this baby is an incredible gift of love. The scene at the temple with Simeon takes place about 40 days after the birth of Jesus, after the manger scene. We know that because there were two ceremonies that were required when someone was born to Jewish parents. One ceremony, one ritual was the presentation of the child at the temple. It is kind of like a dedication, if you have ever heard of that. You would take your child and you would present him at the temple. You would dedicate him to the Lord, to the work of God. And of course, for those in the tribe of Levi, that would be very much into the priestly role. But for others, they too presented this child as a way of saying, "This child belongs to God. We dedicate, we hope that this child will fulfill the call of God on his life." The presentation of a child, one ceremony that they did during those times in Jewish custom. The second was the purification of the mother. Because of many laws about cleanliness and uncleanliness, and of course there was a period of 40 days that the mother had to wait after the birth, after giving birth, and then she would go for a cleansing ritual where she would once again be able to enter into the presence of the Lord. This itself is highly ironic, since she gave birth to the very God that after 40 days she would now be permitted to enter into the presence of God again. It's all very strange, ironic. It should make us smile. I believe that the parents, Mary and Joseph, combined those two requirements of Mosaic law And they took that trip to Jerusalem to fulfill all the requirements of the law, since they were good Jewish parents. And in doing that, that is what brought them to Simeon, the story that we just finished reading. I don't know if you noticed, or if your thoughts were still with a newborn baby, but did you notice the things that were said about Simeon? Simeon is described as righteous and devout. A man of God, in other words. He's described also as waiting at the temple. Well, what was he waiting for? And this brings up a whole history of Israel. All of Israel, of course, was waiting for a Messiah, a Savior who would release them from the grip of their oppressor. The Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Persians, the Assyrians, many times had the nation of Israel be enslaved. And there had been this promise of one day a Messiah would come. And so there was this Messiah narrative. He was righteous and devout. He was looking for a Messiah. And the third thing it says very clearly about him, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, again, we read over this kind of stuff, but I want to just dwell on this for a moment. The Holy Spirit was upon him. This is before Pentecost. This is before the Holy Spirit rested on all faithful followers of Christ. This was before the Holy Spirit empowered the whole church. And in the Old Testament tradition, when the Holy Spirit was on someone, when someone received an anointing, this was... it was rare. It was for special occasions. And so the fact that it says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, should make us immediately attentive to the special place that this man should have and would have. He was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the promise of God to be fulfilled, and the Holy Spirit was upon him, Simeon. And if you didn't catch it the first time, that Holy Spirit bit, in verse 26 and in verse 27, it gets repeated. And when the Bible starts repeating, you had better pay attention. Simeon ended up there at the temple at that time, not by accident. It had been revealed to him by that Holy Spirit that was on him. And it says once again, he was moved by the Spirit to go to the temple, because how would he know that Mary and Joseph would pick this time to come? The temple was a busy place. Many people would come and dedicate, and many people would come with their sacrifices. Many people would come. How would Simeon know unless God was at work? And that's indeed the case. This is the case with a man named Simeon. And when Simeon sees this child, this baby that they had named Jesus, when he was brought into the temple to be presented at the temple, he recognizes, his heart leapt for joy, and he recognizes this moment as the fulfillment of a promise. And he grabs the baby, and presumably Mary had given him permission to do that. And he took the baby in his arms. And he looked at this baby. Sovereign Lord, Almighty God, the God with a plan, because that's what Sovereign Lord means. The God with a plan. As you have promised, you are the God of promises. You are the God that fulfills promises. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, You now dismiss your servant in peace. And he was referring to himself. He had become old and gray. He was nearing the end of his age, and he believed he was devout and righteous. And he had been promised that his own eyes would see the Messiah. And here it was. Here was the moment. God is faithful. Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my very eyes have seen your salvation. He recognized in the baby Jesus, the one that they had come to present at the temple. He recognized that this was to be the salvation of Israel and of all people. God, you are good. But I also noticed what else Simeon said after his great joy and after he blessed the child. Did you catch what else Simeon said about the baby and what was to take place? Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, his mother, "The child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. And the child is to be a sign that will be spoken against. And the child will cause the thoughts of many hearts to be revealed." And before you apply this to someone else, he adds the words to Mary, "And a sword will pierce your own soul too." Now, these words, how many of you have ever heard these words in the context of the Christmas story? How many of you have ever read these words? How many of you have ever studied these words? And what is the pastor doing bringing these words, it seems, to wreck the joy? We are celebrating the candle of hope. We are celebrating the candle of love. And here's the pastor who takes us to a turn. Is that really right? But it's part of this Christmas story. It's part of what happens. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, "Yes, this child is love. But know that many will fall by this child. Many will speak against him." And unbeknownst to Simeon, but what did happen is that people spat at him. And they slapped him. And they accused him. They crucified him and all that he stood for. And everyone will be faced with that decision. What do you think about this child? And the hearts of many will be revealed. And when you look into your own soul, when you look into your own heart, you too will be faced with the question, "And who do you say that I am?" I want to tell two stories. The first, it is 1979, in a place called Ermelo, the Netherlands. It was the birth of a baby. I was born in Ermelo, not in 1979. 10 years after I was born, my parents received another gift, another baby. My sister Derma was born. 10 years after me, and I lost my privileged place in our family. It was traumatic, let me tell you. And to prepare for this baby growing in my mom's stomach, mom had dutifully sat down as a mother, and she had explained to me what would happen. She had explained that, yes, her tummy was getting a little bit bigger, and so she took the time to explain the whole process of the birth of a baby and how that came to be, and that she would give birth, and that I would have a little brother or a little sister, and it turned out to be a little sister named Derma. And of course, as a child, I was just amazed at this story, of course. How could that possibly be? How could that happen? And I was excited. And I was excited by the prospect I would have my own little brother or little sister that I would be able to hold. And I was so excited. About a week later, my mom started receiving many calls. And the neighbors on the street, when she was shopping, would say, "Oh, it was so cute that your son came to our door." And she said, "Excuse me?" "Yes, he came, and he was all excited, and he explained all about how babies came to be. And that you were going to have a baby. Congratulations, Mrs. Vandervliss." And I had been so excited about the prospect of a little baby, and I had gone into our neighborhood as far as my parents would allow me to go, safely on the sidewalks, I'm sure. And I had knocked on the neighbor's door, and I excitedly told the story that I would be a big brother to a little sister or a little brother. That my mom, and do you know how this happens? This is crazy. How could I not tell the story of life of a newborn baby? There was so much joy that it just had to be shared. And that's exactly what I had done, to the great consternation of my poor mother. Another story, 2019, it could be this very last week. It could be the week that we are entering into. It could be anywhere in Canada, really. The job interview. Someone who really wants a job and has just perhaps finished school or is now looking for meaningful work and wondering if they are able to do the work and do they have the right skills and will they like me and will I say the right things. And they're anxious and they're nervous. And inevitably, the mother of this person or the spouse will shore up their nervousness. And they say, "You'll be fine." "Yeah, but I don't know. There may be gaps like in my resume. And I don't know. What if they ask about this?" And then the spouse or the mother would add those reassuring words. "Be sure to tell them the volunteer work that you have been doing. Be sure to tell them that you traveled abroad because that has given you life experience as well. Be sure to tell them that you used to babysit your cousins, your nieces and nephews rather. So that is also a set of skills that's very important. It shows that you are responsible. Be sure to tell them. It's important. They need to hear." That brings us to present day. Because we are still telling the Christmas story. The sanctuary was set up once again. The manger has been brought out. Hope, love. Our theme for this year, Away in a Manger, because we intend to tell the Christmas story. We will tell the Christmas story. We will invite people to come, and the faithful, yes, they will come. And yet at the same time, we say, and we will invite the community. Go and tell your community what they need to hear, what they may not know. The story of Christmas, when I typed it in, this is what I received. A favorite Christmas movie that had absolutely nothing to do with the story of Christmas. December has become the time where the movie industry, where the entertainment industry brings out new releases, new movies. This is prime time. The kids are off of school. People have a little bit more time. They take vacation time. So let's flood the theaters with stories, with movies, and we'll rake in the thousands and the millions at the box office. In a pluralist society, more and more does the Christmas story sit alongside other stories, the stories of the Hindus and the Buddhists and the Muslims. And we become more and more aware of those stories, perhaps through a neighbor, perhaps through a colleague at work, perhaps. And then, what about the philosophies that swirl around again in an increasingly diverse society? Some don't believe at all. Some are atheists. Some are agnostic. Some ask, "Do you still believe in that story?" And some talk about Big Bang without any mention of a God. Some provide no credible explanation at all. They just accept the way things are. You're here one day, you're gone another. And the more stories we hear, the more voices we hear, we realize that the story of Christmas has become increasingly obscured. And no longer do we see it clearly against the backdrop of many competing stories. Surely they will come. Or will they? Yes, Mary said, they will come. The faithful will come. And that's what the church has been saying. If we're just present in our community, people will come. Build it and they will come. And increasingly, as people's schedules get busier, as people's commitments increase, personal commitments, job commitments, as families have moved to different parts, as we've become more mobile, we travel more in order to keep that connection with our families and with our friends. And there's more and more strain on being there and being rooted and hearing the story as we used to. We can no longer assume that the stories we once, in mentioning them, would be able to be repeated by whoever heard them. Now when we mention Noah, now when we mention Daniel, now when we mention David and Goliath, we cannot simply assume. And now when we speak of the story of Jesus, the birth of Jesus, the Savior of the world, can we still say with Mary, yes, they will come, the faithful will come. How could they not? And along with Mary, I think we need to make sure that we say the second thing as well, that we put ourselves in a position to hear what she also said to her young friend. But when you go tell, how could you not? The birth of a baby that is bringing in us an excitement. The Savior of the world. The one who would set us free. Messiah. A king born in a stable. Incredible. We should all be running to our neighbors and knocking on their doors and say, you know what? So I say along with Mary, when you go tell Hope Church, be sure And hear me well. Be sure to tell them that Jesus is an incredible gift of love. Jesus is not just a good teacher. Jesus is not just an ordinary man. Jesus is not just a quaint story about a boy being born in a stable. Jesus is not just a good teacher. He is the Savior of the world, the one promised of God. For God so loved the world that he sent us an incredible gift of love, that whosoever should receive him, that whosoever would be moved to recognize the arms of God, the arms of love, the strong arms of love, would not perish but have eternal life. Brian told again the story he shared. Thank you, for Brian, for doing that, of a baptism. Perhaps this person was an atheist, didn't know. And through these events, he came somehow to know the love of God. He was baptized and he was given life. People of hope, don't assume that they will come. You go and tell. Go and tell the story and be sure to tell them that Jesus loves them. Let us pray.